April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parks, James Seltzer with you till 3. And after 3, coming up at 4 o'clock on this station, your first place Philadelphia Phillies. Elliot, how about it, buddy?
I talk often on this show about how one of my favorite times of year is training camp. Another underrated time of the year in Philadelphia is when the Phillies are making a postseason run. And, like, it's October air. You can feel it. There's a game that night. And last night was one of the first times in a long time. I know last year they were in it till the end. But, man, that Bryce home run last night, they win. They go into first place. I can feel the crispiness. That's not the right phrase.
Christmas.
I can feel the crisp air coming of playoff baseball. They are on their way. I believe in them. And yesterday was super exciting.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, for the first time heading into yesterday's game, yesterday was the first time all season long I actually made the turn, and I think they're going to win the division.
Yeah, because you've been against them. You have not believed
in them. No, but I've been the one who's, like, you know, pulling the reins back a little bit, not fully ready to jump in with 2 feet. I'm in, man. I totally believe in this team. They fight. They win games late. Like, they never feels like they're out of a baseball game. It feels like things are coming together at the right time.
And Bryce.
I mean, Bryce is on his way to an MVP season.
Yeah.
And they are doing it right, the right time, like we said. And most importantly, the rest of the division is horrible. So they are in a really good spot.
Keep that in mind for a few minutes from now. And here's the other thing, though. That they're playing well. I spent my morning across the street.
Yes, let's get to
watching
it.
Another team in this city. And let's just say they're not as hot right now as the Phillies. To put it mildly, things are not going as well for the Eagles.
All right, let's get into training camp. And if we're going to talk Eagles and Phillies today. If you want to get in with a Phillies call, 215-592-9494. Obviously, we will talk Phillies. It is the most exciting time of the season. Most exciting time in a while. The Phillies. So definitely down to take your Phillies calls. The Phillies and Mets will play at 4:05 on this station today. So keep it here. But you were down at training camp today.
Oh boy.
Didn't seem like it was a great day down at camp. What'd you say?
Oh, it was so bad today. Man, let me tell you, I've been on this radio saying I think the team's going to be better, and we'll get into that. Today was absolutely awful. Okay. The offense could not look worse than it looked today. I mean, there was a play at the end of practice, and it seemed like they had some type of competition going with the play. But it was a 5-yard completion to Jason Huntley, and the entire offense jumped up in joy and ran to Jason Huntley and celebrated with him. Now, again, I think there was something Sirianni did with them. But regardless, it really showed what type of day it was, that they could not get anything going. I mean, I've never seen so many batted passes at practice in my life than I saw today. Jalen Hurts and the offense could not complete nearly anything. At one point in the team drills, And I have Jalen Hurts down here, 16 of 23, no touchdowns, one interception. There was a point in 1-11 drill where Jalen Hurts got the ball. He was nearly pressured, so he ran away, would have been sacked in a game. They ran the ball. Next four plays, incomplete, 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 incomplete.
Yikes.
So it just nothing was working for them. And, you know, Jalen deserves the blame because he's the quarterback. If you've listened to me over the years, you know I'm a quarterback win-loss guy. The quarterback makes the offense go. He's the engine. So ultimately, Jalen does deserve blame. But what's really concerning to me in watching this offense is Jalen actually hasn't been that bad. Like, it's not like guys are open and he's overthrowing them. It's not like guys are open and he's missing them. Guys aren't getting open, and I don't know if Jalen at this point of his career has a good enough arm to consistently hit 50-50 passes when, let's be honest, not many quarterbacks do. That's not a recipe for success. So the offense has struggled. The offensive line has struggled. The receivers don't look good. The running backs, Miles Sanders has had issues with drops. He fumbled the ball yesterday. In today's practice, they stripped him of the ball again. People felt it was after the whistle, and it might have been, but all I know is he's the only one today that had the ball stripped out of his hands again. And the receivers, I've said it before and I'll say it again, they have got to make a move for a receiver. They cannot go into the season with this receiving core and expect to compete. They're too inexperienced. I mean, yes, some of them could reach their upside. I like the idea of playing young players, but they have got to bring in a safety net because what I saw today, unless their defense is going to be like a top five unit, what I saw today was a team that did not look at anywhere close to a team ready to compete in week one.
Well, I hate to say this, but I'm not surprised.
Here we go.
I'm not surprised. Again, you know, we have been very different in expectations for this team this season, and this is my worry. This is my worry that the offense, it lacked weapons, lacked talent. Jalen Hurts wasn't going to be able to rise above and make everyone around him better, and that there were just holes throughout the team that the depth of the roster wasn't good enough, and especially when guys go down, like, what if Devontae Smith's injury was bigger than it is? What if he gets hurt and then they have nothing? I mean, he's all we have at wide receiver the way you kind of explain it here. So I'm not surprised. And honestly, I'm fine with playing young guys because I don't think they're going to win it this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, so look, prior to the season, prior to training camp, I made a bet with Howard Eskin. Was talked about, right? 35 total touchdowns and 11 wins for the Eagles. Me and you have talked throughout the offseason. We've been on different pages. I've said I think they're going to be better and you don't. So as I was driving in here today, after watching that embarrassment of a practice from the offense, I was saying to myself, Elliot, were you wrong? Right? Like, were you wrong? And as often the case is, my conclusion I came to was I'm not jumping ship yet. And let's be honest, the Phillies are a good reason to look at and say, you should still believe in the Eagles
because
the Phillies, as look, they are good. Don't get me wrong. They're not like bad. Their roster's better.
Yes, they're not great.
But what they're going to end up being is the best team in a bad division, right? The Mets have been completely underperforming this year. Atlanta's been dealing with a ton of injuries. Washington's not that good, and they've already sold. Miami is what they are. So the Phillies, I think, are going to make the postseason. I think they're going to win the division. Doesn't mean they're a great team, right? I'm not throwing water on them, but let's be real. That's what's happening. And so now I look at the Eagles, and I go, man, they look bad. But then I look around the division. The Giants are having one of the worst training camps you could possibly have. They have players retiring every day.
No.
They got in an entire team brawl that had to end practice, right?
With the quarterback on the bottom of the brawl, no
less. Yes, Kelvin Benjamin was cut because he was, like, taking food from the cafeteria and then said his head coach was a joke, right? Washington still has Ryan Fitzpatrick. The injury to Dak Prescott, something I don't think is being brought up enough.
It seems like a thing.
A shoulder injury that they've now had to take a step back and move slower with. So the Eagles look bad. It has not been a good start to training camp. I thought Jalen Hurts was going to be better than he was. But my logic for believing them in them is still there. The division is bad. I still believe in the offense and defensive line. The defense, as bad as the offense has looked, and we'll find out, you know, in these preseason games when they do joint practices, which one it is. But the defense looks awesome. The defensive line has been great. The cornerbacks look really good. Anthony Harris looks like he's controlling the middle of the field. Eric Wilson has an interception and a forced fumble. We've wanted, you know, people have said we need a better linebacker in here. Well, look, they got one, right? So I do think that this team is still going to be able to compete. But I also can't lie and say, you know, like, it's not looking great. But look at the Phillies. The Phillies are proof that if you're in a bad division, you just have to be okay. And you just have to stick around long enough. And I still think the Eagles have it in them to do that.
So I get your point. I just think it's not apples to apples. Certainly in terms of what I want from these teams. I mean, The Phillies haven't been in the playoffs in a decade. They have committed money. They've committed resources. They brought in Bryce Harper. They brought in Zach Wheeler. They traded for JT Romito. Like, this is a team that's window is now. Like, this group of guys,
yeah.
whether it's good enough or not, whether the minor leagues coming up in years are going to be good enough or not, are two separate things. This group, they've committed to them. This is a team that is going for it, for better or worse. Like, that's the position they're in. And they happen to be lucky enough to be in the worst division in baseball. And thank God, because otherwise we wouldn't even be talking about the Phillies in a positive way, because they'd be like 8 games out if they're
right.
in any other division in baseball. So I get the point of, like, taking advantage of a bad division. I just don't think the Eagles are there. Like, maybe it could happen, but this team's not ready for that, nor should it be the priority. Like, they should not be trading draft picks to
add
to this team. They should not be worried about winning a division that is, you know, fun and all that, but ultimately meaningless. They should be worried about the future of the team. That's what I've talked about forever. Develop. Let guys play. Learn what you have in Quez Watkins. Learn what you have in Travis Fulgham. Know what you have heading into next offseason with all these picks, with all this arsenal, to really take that next step.
But the Phillies are examples of why winning does matter, right? Let's say that they were in a division where they were 8 games out, or let's say that Atlanta didn't deal with all the injuries, or the Mets lived up to their potential. Then we're not talking about October baseball right now, right? But it matters, because if they weren't in a playoff push, Bryce would be unhappy. They probably would have been sellers at the deadline, right? I think what you're seeing from the Phillies is trying to compete ultimately is always the best call. When the Eagles were, you know, 4-whatever last year, yeah, towards the end of the season, it was right for them to tank that game because the season was over. But the season hasn't begun yet, and as bad as they've looked, I disagree with you. I would invest in this team. James Washington, the receiver from the Steelers, go trade for him. Go get a guy in here that can help Jalen Hurts be better. Get a guy in here that can make Nick Sirianni look better. Give them a chance to see what they can do, because as the Phillies are showing is, if you go for it, then things could break your way, right? Look, last year the Sixers didn't go for it at the trade deadline. They could have, if it seemed like they had an option to get Kyle Lowry, they didn't give enough up. They tried to get James Harden, didn't happen. And then in the playoffs, everything broke the Bucks' way. Everybody got hurt, right? So I think the message from the Phillies is, you're better off going for it and then see what happens. And so with the Eagles, look, they've not looked great in training camp, but they can look better if they go and make moves, if they bring in a receiver, if they, you know, bring in two receivers, honestly, right? So I'm not ready to give up on the Eagles just yet, despite the fact it's not been a good start.
See, that's the problem. That's what got the Eagles into this spot where they had their cap issues, where they had all this.
Well, the cap issues did not come from
that. Right, right. But regardless, my whole point is the whole situation they're in was because they went for it too hard, which is fine. They won a Super Bowl and they wanted to win more, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine that they went for it. But at a certain point, you have to divert and say, all right, we've got an old roster. We have a lack of young talent. Like, this has to be more important. Rebuilding our young talent base, finding out what we have in this young talent base, and most importantly, developing this young talent base
right.
has to be priority one for this organization, where the Phillies' priority one is the playoffs.
But
like,
the Phillies
are built.
The Phillies have win now talent on it, you're right. But so do the Eagles. Look at their offensive and defensive line, right? Look at their cornerbacks. Look at their safety. They are not a team. I think you can make an argument that the Eagles are just as talented as the Phillies. Like, the Bryce Harper's been awesome. The Eagles don't have a player as good as Bryce Harper. I mean, you could argue Fletcher Cox, but it's just different. He doesn't impact the game as much. They don't have an elite level guy like that. But outside of that, who on the Phillies is amazing?
Real Muto's Zach Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler has been.
Young.
Yes,
yeah.
You're right. So there's two of them. But Real Muto's had a bit of a down year, right? Alex Bohm has not been that good. Reese has been good, but he's hurt now. So I think that when you look at the Eagles roster, there is talent there. They just need to add on to it. They should not throw this season away just because it looks like Jalen's struggling. Put pieces around Jalen to help him. And then I think this team, like we're seeing with the Phillies, this team can compete in the NFC East. The rest of the division is a disaster. Maybe they're not going to get to 11 wins. Maybe they win this division at 9 games. But the division is there to be won, and it matters to win the division. It matters for Jalen. It matters for Nick Sirianni. Just like we're seeing across the street, it matters for Bryce Harper that they're going to be in this. Because who knows, if they didn't do it, I heard talk this week, when does Bryce start to ask out, right? Like, these winning matters for these teams. And the Eagles can do that still if they go and they add pieces. And that's what I'm seeing down there is, if they add pieces to this roster, they can still compete. But as they're currently constructed, it's not been pretty.
215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Should the Eagles add to this roster? Should they go for this division that, to be fair to Elliot's point, is absolutely winnable? Like, I'm with
you. Disaster of a division.
Like, I think the Giants stink.
Yes.
I think Joe Judge is a joke. I think Daniel Jones is a bad quarterback. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick more than you, but I understand who Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He's not a superstar. He could certainly throw in some clunkers with that team. They are not a juggernaut of any kind. And obviously Dallas, especially with this Dak thing,
yes,
it's up in the air. So I get the idea the division is winnable. And if you win it, fine. Like, I'm not saying I don't want them to win the division. I'm just not prioritizing winning the division.
But why? Why?
Because
why
I
don't you
want
to prioritize?
I'm not going to give up draft picks.
But I'm not saying go trade any of the number one picks, right? I get, you know, we can debate the Colts pick now because of the Wentz injury. But regardless, if you have a chance to go get James Washington for a third round pick, go get James Washington. If you have a chance to pick up a veteran receiver who, you know, is good, maybe we don't know that they're available because you look right around the league right now, it's tough to find. But maybe there's a team out there willing to trade you a good receiver. Go do that. Go bring in talent. Reinvest in the team because winning matters flat out. I get what you're saying about rebuilding, and there are certain instances where you have to do that when it comes to first-round picks and stuff like that. But outside of that, you can figure things out on the fly next year, right? You can go get other draft picks. What you can't do is get the season back. You can't get Nick Sirianni's first year back. You can't get Jalen Hurts, let's be honest, probably only chance to win a starting job back. And so they have to go out and do that. I would reinvest in the team.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand on this? Would you invest in this Eagles team right now? Try and take this division while it's there for the taking. Are you more concerned about the long-term development of these players, of learning who these guys are, and finding out what you have to move into the future with these younger players? And any Phillies call you want.
Yeah, we'll talk Phillies.
Elliot and I believe. If you don't believe, we'd love to hear from you because, look, I think it's absolutely fair to say, oh, they've been up and down all year. They'll just go back down. Like, I get it. I've been there all season long until now. If you don't believe, call us. And if you do, 215-592-9494. Let's start it out where we do every single Saturday at this time. Let's go to Edmonton and talk to our buddy Tom. Yo, Tom.
Yo, James Seltzer, brother from another mother, best producer at the Whip. How we doing today?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Elliot.
What up, man? How you doing?
You know, I was kicking it around earlier with my wife because I've had fun with your name and your initials throughout the years.
Oh, yes. Many have had growing up as well. Trust me.
Yeah. I'm sure. It's very versatile. But so I'm sitting there with Tammy and we're talking about it. And I think I might be out of bullets.
You get me too much each week?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you
good news, we got a season coming up where it looks like you might be able to get me quite a bit throughout the year. So we shall see.
We came up with a couple. But they're like borderline insulting. Like I would never say them on the radio. You know,
I'll text them to you later.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you'll get a chuckle out of them. So, so fellas, I am sitting in an in-ground pool, sipping on some Grey Goose and Red Bull, and right next to the Atlantic Ocean. So things don't get much better than this.
Talking about my name, so you know it doesn't get much better than that.
Sounds good, buddy. That sounds really good.
It's funny you're drawing a parallel between the Phillies and the Eagles because they're. I mean, they're so similar.
Yeah.
The only way they succeed is because the rest of their division is terrible.
Hey, you take what you
still
can
succeeding.
Get,
Tommy.
Well, listen, the Phillies haven't fooled me, guys. Let's not keep in mind they swept the Nats, who are a Triple-A team at this point, and the Mets have just been doing nothing but losing.
Yeah,
so,
but at least they're taking care of business, right?
And what I will say, Tom, like they fight, man, like that, like. Unlike the last Philly teams the last few years, and I'm with you, those teams have disappointed when it mattered most. Like, none of those teams have I felt like when it's, you know, 7-5 in the ninth inning or 5-3 in the eighth inning or 5-0 in the eighth inning, that Philly's team still had a chance. This team they do, and that does matter.
Okay, well, I I'll give you that. We'll see what happens when they play the Dodgers and as the season unfolds. I think Atlanta wins the division, personally.
Wow.
I think I'm a lot more scared of Atlanta than the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets are done.
Right.
The Mets are done.
They're toast. They're toast. And the Phillies probably will sweep them this weekend. But, all right, so when it comes to the Eagles, you know, I have many question marks, much like all of us do. You guys know I had them, what, at 5-11-1, I think it was?
Yep, I think so.
I'm down to 4-12-1.
Oh, no, buddy.
Well, I mean, my question mark with Devontae Smith, you know.
Yeah.
Will he get hurt? I don't know. Fourth day in, he's hurt already. I understand. They say it's not a big deal, but it's concerning.
Oh, Tom, I'm with you on that. This is not a big deal thing. Look, I don't think he's out for the season or anything like that. You'll never convince me that him missing all of training camp, which it looks like he will, is no big deal.
His rookie training camp, no less. Mm-hmm. At that position, we have so much history in the league to show that rookie wide receivers just don't play that well. Like, it takes time.
Except your boy, Justin.
And I think it's just a sign of things to come, like, as he progresses, especially this year, the rookie year, 17 games. You know how rookies hit that wall at, like, a certain point? They're not used to it. And I'm like, he's tiny. I mean, he's just tiny. So
he is, yeah, he is small.
Another great pick. There's always question marks with Howie's picks. Will the O-line stay healthy? I mean, we already have Brandon Brooks getting hurt. I mean,
yeah, I do wonder how much of that is just them resting him at this point to keep him healthy. But look, you're right. It's not good. It's not good that they're practicing without two of their five starting mm-hmm. offensive linemen right now.
And you guys know how I feel about having a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. I mean, both in the same season, that's tough. But I'm just – the culture that they're setting down there, Zach Ertz is a problem with the shorts. I don't care what anybody tells me. You can't convince me that that's going to be an issue.
Well, look, let me tell you this, Tom, because I'm happy you brought it up. That the first few days, I do think that Zach looked like he didn't want to be there. I think that's changed. I see him working with Jalen after practice. I see him being more engaged with everything that's going on. He's hanging around after practice more. So you're right to be concerned about it somewhat. But now that we've been there for 9 days, I see him to starting to be a little more accepting of it. Appears he's going to be there.
And then as the Hammer and Richie have been driving home all week with the dog mentality, it doesn't look like a dog mentality with the way they have these practices. What, you know, what are they, off every
third
day?
I disagree with you on that, too. I know that they've had time off and their practices are short, but I'm telling you, these practices are intense. Like, they are very competitive. There's a lot of team drills that – look, I know they're short, but just from watching them down there, I think if you got a chance, and it'd be awesome if you could come watch one time, but if you got a chance to see the practice, you would agree that they're not soft practices. He is practicing them hard.
I don't know. I don't. James, what do you have, Matt,
now? I will trust the person who's down at practice and has been at many practices to say that if Elliot says it's harder practice,
they're hard practices.
But he said they were terrible today, right?
Yeah. Oh,
well, the offense was bad, but the practice was hard.
He's talking about how hard the practice is. In terms of wins, I'm at 7.
7?
Yeah.
And Elliot, you're still at 11 or 12?
Well, I got to ride with him now, Tom. You know, I'm not jumping ship just yet. But look, my logic is there, and you brought it up with the Phillies.
You realize the ship you're on is named the Titanic, right?
Well, it was one of my favorite movies growing up, so it makes sense that that would be the name.
Sounds right.
Look, I'm not jumping ship yet. They haven't played a game yet, but it's not looked good. Don't get me wrong, Tom. It's not looked
good. Listen, I will be watching and rooting for the Phillies and Eagles. I got to keep it honest on the air because, as you know, James, my name's not Sledge, so I don't lie on the air. So I got to keep it honest.
Got to keep
what
the
I
brand
see.
Strong.
I love it, Tom.
So you fellas keep talking. I'm going to keep listening.
My man.
Love you, pal. Thank you.
See
buddy.
You.
All right, 215-592-9494. Love you, fellers. Mean it.
Mean it. The legend. Yeah. Hope he calls in today.
Yeah, 215-592-9494. Get in. Should the Eagles go for it with this team, this group, in a division that is super winnable, as we're seeing the Phillies take advantage of a bad division, you know, right now in this moment. And if you want to get in on the Phillies belief, 215-592-9494. It's Elliot, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio. And let me remind you that the Parks Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Sports Fan. Golf's in full swing, and you can bet on everything, baseball, golf, MMA, and so much more. Live in-game play-by-play betting lets you bet while you watch. It's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania and the only one that we at Go Birds recommend. You can bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app, which is a wild ride. The in-game betting is a blast. You can bet on individual player performances as they happen. Baseball, you can bet hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts, inning by inning. Golf, you can bet on match winners, bet on leaders after rounds, and so much more. And of course, you can always bet on spreads, parlays, props, teasers, and over-unders, and honestly, Elliot and I have been having such a blast using the Park Sportsbook app, and just having a little bit of action on these games that we're going to watch anyway makes them so much more fun to watch. You're so much more invested in these games. Here's the deal. If you sign up now, your first bet is risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA. And use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS. Your risk-free bet is refunded to the site credit. The website has all the details. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer, a little Bob Marley. I mean, come on. You a Bob guy?
No. I don't dislike him.
I didn't even need to ask the question. I'm looking at Dan Wilson in the producer studio, and Dan's like giggling.
I don't dislike him. I just don't. I'm never like, let me put some Bob Marley on.
You're missing out, buddy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I've heard that song before.
It just makes you happy. It's like good mood music. Right,
well,
there.
After that Eagles practice,
need a little,
can tell you
a
that.
Positive vibe.
So
right there.
What's interesting is Nick Sirianni's told us that each day there's a winner on offense and defense, and they keep score. So I think he said one day the defense won, like, I don't know, it was like 27-26, or he made it sound like it was close. Who knows what it really was. Mm-hmm. But I would be interested to know, and I'll ask him next time we have a press conference. Like, I wonder what the score is, because
so dominant today.
Yeah, day one he talked about it, or day two, I should say, and he was like, "Oh yeah, it was close practice." Day four or five, he was like, "Oh, I don't remember. I'll get back to you guys." Something tells me after today, next time I ask, I wouldn't be surprised. There's been nine practices. Like, it might be 7-2 defense,
wow.
And the day's offensive one would be very close. Who knows? We'll see with the offense. The defense does look very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something. We're a defense town.
Now, the issue is the first few weeks when you look, I mean, Atlanta has weapons on offense. Uh-huh. San Francisco's interesting because we'll see what they do at quarterback. And then, you know, last year the defense played well against them, but they had the Eagles' third-string quarterback starting for mm-hmm. them. Dallas has weapons. So not a tough start to the season, but there are good offenses coming in.
215-592-9494. Where do you stay on this Eagles team? Would you double down? Would you add to this team? Because they are in a bad division and have a real chance, just like the Phillies across the street. Or are you more worried about developing and the future and moving this team forward? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Vancouver and talk to our buddy Tom. Hey, Tom.
Yes, hello, gentlemen.
Tom, what's going on, man? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, look, I just, sometimes I wish maybe we should go by Tommy or something to separate
mix
myself.
Mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
From Tom from Abington, you know?
I kind of like that. I'd be down to go for a Tommy
you
if you're cool with that.
You don't think the whole being from another country is enough of a separation?
Yeah, separate you.
No.
There we go. And, well, plus he's got double legend status, right?
Well, so, he's every show seems to enjoy it.
Yeah,
Tom
there we go. Okay, so to get down to our friends, the Eagles, and the tie-in with the Phillies, I'm actually glad you tied it into the Phillies, because I watched the game yesterday and I thought it was fun. And I know James is a huge Phillies fan, and it's nice to be able to express that.
Yeah.
So now the differences I see with the Phillies are the expectations for the Phillies were really high at the beginning of the season.
True.
They turned into a bust in probably May or June. We saw like how bad the bullpen was and such. And the Phillies aren't in a position to build for the future like the Eagles are. The Eagles have all these draft picks and such.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the expectation is more there for them to either win now or go into a depressing rebuild, sort of like the Sixers.
It's a little different.
And the Phillies just came out of a rebuild. That's the thing.
Yeah. Which
the
was
Phillies
terrible.
Are on the backside of being the worst team in baseball for 3 years and all that. Like they just did the rebuild thing. That's why the expectations are different.
Yeah, so, you know, so I'm okay with trading a later pick for a veteran receiver, but I think the focus has to be on developing the team and assessing players for the future, not for the win now. I really don't like the idea of winning a bad division. It just doesn't feel like it's doing that much.
See, but
I'll
push back at that and see what you think. I mean, I think it matters for Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts to get some success, right? And look, there's no denying that it's better to go, I guess, 4-13 than it is to win 7 games, right? Because if you're not going to make the playoffs, you want a high pick. And look, the Eagles pick could be really high this year. Who knows? But ultimately, this team success is going to come down to, and where I think it's different than baseball, it's going to come down to their ability to find a head coach and a quarterback. And if you can make the playoffs with these two, yeah, you don't have to do it at 13 games. If they can get in the postseason, I do think having that success matters. I do. I mean, look at Carson's time here. The fact that he was never really able to make it to the playoffs, he did one time and got hurt. I think that matters ultimately.
You could also flip it around, though, and say, like, look, Chip Kelly, first year, 10-6, they make the playoffs, they have that success, and just peters out.
Well,
over
but next year they won the same amount of games and just didn't get
right. But I mean, it was certainly a downward trend for Chip. Like, I understand the argument that playoff experience and culture and all it does matter. I get it, but I think it can be overblown. We can point to many examples of Ben McAdoo made the playoffs in his first year that didn't carry over. So ultimately,
right.
You need to be good.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess with this, my final position on this is that. If the division is really bad, then it would be depressing for them to be bad within a bad division. But what I'd prefer to have is that, let's say, the Cowboys or someone else like that surprises us and they actually play well. And then the Eagles play well, but they don't win the division. But they play well enough that these guys have proved themselves.
So you'd rather have them not get in with, like, 10 wins than get in with 7 wins is basically kind of what you're saying. You want to see real improvement this year and feel good about it as opposed to just backing into the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. totally, Elliot. Now, I have one little question before I go, and that's that when is the first round conditional pick becoming a second round conditional first?
That's a great question, Tom.
And well, I look, it's still a conditional first.
It was literally, I'm not kidding, Tom. My first thought when the Carson Wentz injury stuff came out was not, oh, the Eagles are going to get a second round pick. It was, oh, Elliott's going to have to say.
I'm not doing it.
That was my first thought.
I think there's still a chance Carson plays week one.
Oh.
There could be. They're reevaluating in 2 weeks.
My man will never give it up.
Look, all I know about Carson is
I've actually heard that Elliott's right on that. Like, he's not the only, he's not on an island.
No,
like he is
I know. They said right. 5 weeks.
I like being on an island. It's okay. But look, I think from covering Carson and knowing him, every player wants to play each week, so that doesn't make him unique in that way. But when you consider his injury history, it's especially important for Carson to be out there. If he's not going to be 100%, he will still be out there. So I would not shut the door on him playing in week one.
Okay, minor controversial comment before I go, and that's why are they – well, it's sort of a rhetorical question in my view. Why are they saying that the vaccine is a personal decision when clearly it falls under public health?
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
Tom, great call.
Yeah, great call. It's actually, I think, a better way to say it, you know, for them would just say it's a private decision.
Yeah,
because
right.
We know it's a personal decision. It's a personal decision for everybody. But what they're saying is they don't, you know, the players that have answered it this way, that it's a private
decision.
And
it's also, like, we've just gotten to the point where when you say that, everyone knows you're not saying, you're telling people no.
Right.
Like, if you
that
say that.
That is how
that,
it's being perceived,
it
for
is,
sure.
Whether or not, correct or not, like, if you say that, everyone's going to think you didn't get it. Like,
yeah.
It's it. So you may as well just say it or whatever, you know?
You know, it. Yeah, I don't want to get into a vaccine debate.
No,
I am vaccinated.
Either.
Look, but
yes, me too.
I do think it's a tough spot to have to go up there and answer it publicly. I will say in that regard, it is a tough spot for them.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Atlantic City and talk to Simone. Hey, Simone.
Hello. Good morning or good afternoon. Question: I haven't heard you guys talk about too much. We got a crowded running back room. Mm-hmm. How many backs do you think they'll keep?
Yeah.
And, like, who is really the number one back? We think it's Miles Sanders, but he's, like, got injury issues also, and he fumbles, like you said. How many backs do you think they're going to keep, and who will be the number one back?
It's a great question, and it's something I've been thinking a lot about recently. So when you talk about the running backs, they have 8 on the roster, which isn't the most of any position group, but it is a lot for that position group. So I think the locks to make the team are obviously Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. I think and then Kenny Gainwell is definitely going to make the team since he was just a draft pick. I think Kerryon Johnson is almost a lock, you know, pretty close to making it. The fifth spot's going to be interesting. Jordan Howard has been getting the ball a ton in training camp, but Huntley has looked good, and when he has the ball, he looks super quick. I've heard the coaches talk a lot about wanting speed on offense, so I think that speaks to Huntley. So I would think those would be the guys that are in contention, and if I had to pick, I think Huntley makes the roster over Jordan Howard. But as far as the number one running back, it's going to be Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders is going to start when the team goes out on the field for the first time, week one, snap one. He'll be the starting running back. But what's going to be interesting to see is how much does a coaching staff trust him? It's a new coaching staff. I think Miles has had issues with drops so far in training camp. He fumbled the ball once, and then today he nearly got stripped again at the end of a drill. Whereas Boston Scott is catching the ball well, and he's out there a lot. So Miles is going to get the most snaps. He's going to be the starter. But could it be like 60-40 between him and Scott? I think you could end up seeing that.
And as far as like you're saying, like if you want to invest in this year or just like hold on to the picks, I mean, you always want to win, definitely. But like, I don't want to invest in just like a number two or a number three receiver. If you're going to get somebody that's really going to help,
yeah,
not just like, you know what I mean. So
and for multiple years too, like, well, get someone who's under contract.
I mean, James Washington's 25 now. He's a free agent at the end of the year, but he's 25. He had 5 touchdowns last year. He had 700 yards 2 years before. I think he's a perfect example of what they need. Someone that's young, you can build with, but also has, you know, a somewhat proven track record of being able to contribute on Sundays.
Well, let's hope. I mean, it's going to be interesting. We got Thursday is the day we get to see some more stuff. So
should be interesting for sure.
Simone, great call, and you're right. It's going to be fascinating to actually see those guys, not just, you know, in a practice setting.
It'll also be interesting to see how much Sirianni plays them. There's only 3 games this year,
yeah.
And you know, he's a new head coach, so we'll see.
Let's go to Kenny from the Dirty 30. What is up, brother? How are you, sir?
Good, guys. First off, heading down to the Phillies game. Go Phils.
Nice.
Really exciting.
Yes. It should be awesome down there, Kenny. It looked awesome last night. It felt like
for the first time all year, there was some real energy in that building. The Harper home run was like a special moment.
Yeah, well, they had like 30,000 down there, right?
Kyle Gibson, by the way, I've not gotten a chance to say, already my favorite Philly. Like, how much fun is that guy? Like, he's so into it.
It's like a great pickup.
And got out of some jams. Like, that bases loaded, no outs was clearly, they end up winning 4-2, a massive moment in the game. And I still don't know how he got out of it, Kenny.
Hopefully somehow rub off of Nola, because we need him, man.
Yeah, tell me about it, buddy. Gosh.
All right, can we get on to the Eagles now?
Please.
Let's do it.
So I had this very intelligent question, and I had all this stuff I wanted to ask. But first off, Mr. Tom from Abington, you made me feel like I need to jump in front of a bus right now. Dude, we are better at every single position. Last year we won 4 games. We're going to win more than 4 games. We're better at quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, D-line, D-back, hell, even linebacker. We're going to be better.
Yeah.
Everybody. Get with it. We're going to be better. Last year was an anomaly. Carson is gone. That coward is gone.
So I agree with you. I agree with you, Kenny. I just have to be honest, as someone that's seen this team practice, it's looked ugly so far. But I think your assessment overall is correct. The quarterbacks, it'd be hard to get worse quarterback play than they got from Carson last year. And I think they'll be better at every other position. But so far in camp, the offense has not looked good.
Well, that's why it's camp. And
there you go. That's why it's practice. Yep.
August. They still got a month to get everything straight.
Kenny,
and it'll come.
Look,
offense always comes along slowly.
I definitely think they'll be better than 4 wins. Like I said, I have them around 7. But I think we're doing that thing every year. We always talk about it. Every year. We're like, oh, it gets close to the season.
Yeah.
We start to see him in training camp, and everyone's like, ho ho, let's go. We're going to win 10 games. Like, I do it.
You're doing it right now.
But I'm not. That's the point.
Well,
but
you had them at like 4 or 5 wins. Like,
but
you know.
That was before the offseason.
Yes,
that's
fair. I
thought they had
a
solid offseason. I'm at 6 or 7. I'm not like going crazy. I think we have a tendency to talk ourselves into stuff, Kenny, at this time of year.
Well,
but it's the only way to do it, James. It's the only way,
you know.
Yeah, it's the only way to live life.
So go with my theory here to see what you think of it.
Okay.
The reason why they have not named Jalen Hurts the starter is because the last time they handed the keys to the kingdom over to a young person, he totally bleeped the bed.
I agree.
You're going to the practices. You see that Hurts is out there with the ones. We all know he's the starter.
Yeah.
But they're just not going to say it because they don't want to anoint a young guy and make him think that he's all high in the hog.
Kenny,
make him earn it.
Kenny, great call, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I definitely think that's part of it.
I do. I've said it before.
I think we both think that they're interested in Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah.
We both think
they're
not sold on Jalen Hurts fully. So, like, I think it's part of it. But I also think part of it is that the Philadelphia Eagles do not believe in Jalen Hurts like they fully don't. Like, they're not all in on Jalen Hurts.
I think that's okay, though. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think they should be all in on Jalen Hurts. He's not proven yet. I like him. You like him. We think he's going to be good. But you don't have to hand him the keys to the kingdom yet, like Kenny said.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand on this Eagles team? A tough day at training camp, but Elliott's still ready to double down.
Not jumping ship yet.
And to try and win a bad division, are you more worried about the future? 215-592-9494. It's Elliott. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. Go Birds Radio. Presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Elliott Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you till 3. Leading off after that, Phillies baseball, Phillies Mets at 4:05. We'll get to that later. Let's continue taking calls on the Eagles and the Phillies if you want to get in on that. Let's go to Cherry Hill and talk to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
So probably the worst thing that could happen to this team would be to win the division, because it's only going to take 8 or 9 wins. And the difference between draft picks and making the playoffs at 8 wins and missing the playoffs at 8 wins is enough to just not make it worthwhile. They're going to go out in the first round anyway.
Well, so I disagree with that. I'll let you finish, but I do strongly disagree. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you guys got to be practiced. It's the same calculus that you had at the end of last season. I mean, it's a question that if you're not going to win the Super Bowl, why? I'm not saying tank the season by any stretch. Look, if they win 10 games, it's great. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's going to happen. And so if you're going to win 8, I'd rather win 8 and get a top 15 pick than win 8 and end up with a top 25 or a top 20 pick.
Yeah, so you don't think playoff experience matters?
Not for this team.
But
everything
why? Because,
they did.
But why?
Because
okay, go ahead.
Because there's a whole thesis to this.
Okay.
Everything they did in the offseason was about 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It was clearing cap space. It was seeing what they have. There was no intent to winning the Super Bowl in 2021 with the off. If you look at what they did in the offseason, assuming they had a plan.
Yeah, I agree.
So giving up assets to make this team marginally better. So you're going to give up a two or three for a wide receiver that maybe wins you an extra game? Makes no sense, especially when you get the cutdowns. There's going to be somebody available to you on a one-year deal that's going to bring, you know, veteran leadership to the locker room. I agree, a veteran receiver would help. But you don't need to give a asset out for it.
Well, I think it depends. It depends on the asset. You're right. Like, I would rather give up a three than a two. I'd rather give up a four. So I get your point that when it comes to trading high-level draft picks, and I think second-round picks definitely high-level, third probably still is, but it's not as much, obviously. Yeah. I agree with you. I don't just want to hand these assets out, but it sounds like where we disagree is I do believe you need to try to help make Jalen and Nick Sirianni successful this year, because the best outcome for this team is Jalen Hurts being good. Flat out.
Agreed.
Because if then in 2022, to your point, they do have a lot of assets to turn things around. And I also actually think having all those assets makes being bad this year less important, because so let's say they get in at 8 wins to the playoffs. They lose in the first game. They end up drafting 21st. Or let's say they win 5 or 6 games. They don't get in and they're picking 10th or 11th. You can move up from 10 or 11 pretty easily because of the extra picks you have. So I think that collecting all these assets kind of protects them against them getting in with a bad record.
Well, I think you actually made my point, because you can move up to someplace. If you decide that Jalen Hurts isn't the answer, if you've got the 10 and the assets you have gets you to, you know, 3 or 4, you're not going to get there from 21 or 22.
But if they make the playoffs, Jalen Hurts is the answer. I mean, if they're in the playoffs, and I know it can, you know, play out 1,000 different ways, but if they're in the playoffs, I don't believe they'll be looking to draft a quarterback. Right? I mean, if you get into the playoffs.
It depends. It really
I guess if you get on the back of the defense, but it just doesn't happen
and again,
very
where,
often.
Look, it could be a thing where Jalen Hurts gets them in on his legs most predominantly or whatever, and that's not the type of quarterback they want long term or something they believe in. Though they could look at him and say, hey, this was good, but that's not going to work forever or whatever. There are scenarios, but I agree. Generally, if they win 10 games, make the playoffs, it's probably because he played better.
Yeah.
And is going to earn himself a shot past that. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Jersey and talk to Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Love hey, what's going on, man?
Wanted to talk about 100% Phillies, if that's all right.
Yes, please.
So, I mean, I'm definitely pumped. I think it's been so long since we've had, like, meaningful, like, division rival games. I mean, I know it's only August, but like this is great. This is exciting. Like, this is why we got Harper.
Yep.
Like, he's fully on board. You know, even when you compare like how Harper prepares and how he's on the field versus like Ben Simmons, like, come on, Ben Simmons, like that's just even more of a contrast with why Ben needs to go. Like, Harper is Philly in and out. Like, he is great, having an MVP year, but I do have a couple reservations. Like, let's be honest, if Nola doesn't show up, they're not going to win the division. And he's choked in September, and along with the rest of the team, I think a lot of the pressure is on him. If he wants, like, he's not the ace, but he needs to be a number two. He needs to prove that he's the reason that they'll propel into the playoffs. Like, I get their defense, I get their bullpen, you know, they have Achilles heels. But, you know, Nola is the face of the team. Like, he's the leader.
Well,
he's supposed to be the leader.
And forgetting even the leader part, forget that. Like, he is the X factor player. I agree with you. Like, if you talk about the first half to the second half of the season, and if you look at the team and say one guy can make a massive, massive difference, it's Aaron Nola. Because if he can even just pitch to being not even like ace, you know, former non-ace Aaron Nola, but just being, like you said, a clear number two for this team, which is what he's done the majority of his career, has been like a solid two, you know, borderline one. It changes everything for this team. It changes the whole complexion. He's pitching to a mid-4 ERA.
Well, and Charlie's right that with Nola, what's concerning about Nola is he always comes up small in big spots. Like, even early on in the season, if it's a game that's somehow been deemed important, he seems to never pitch at his best. I wasn't surprised at all that, you know, these 2 days ago when he pitched that he didn't pitch well. It just,
I don't think any of us were surprised at this point this season.
Last year, they only had, and it was all Nola's fault, but I believe he pitched the last game of the year. They had to win one game in Tampa last year, and they lost. I think they lost, 7 out of 8? They had
seven
to win one of those eight games.
That's correct.
They choke in September, so it is on Nola. I think a lot of it's on Hoskins and Girardi. They've been here a while. They know how September they fall. But I also just wanted to have one question, then I'll hang up. Like, for the Phillies to make the playoffs this year, I think it's crucial, more important than for the Eagles to make the playoffs. You need to get Hoskins. You need to get Real Muto experience in the playoffs. That's valuable. I don't think they're going to go far in the playoffs, let's be honest, but like you need that playoff experience because this team is old. They're not going to be around for much longer. So you got to get the young players like Foam and everyone that experience.
Charlie, great call. And I 100% agree. It's both playoff experience and just like the winning culture here. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, Nick Pivetta goes up to Boston and is like, huh,
right.
Just need to be around winners, man. People who know how to win. Like, it has been a long time since we've had a winning culture here in Philly. And also, I do think it's extra important because of how this team is built. It's not a bunch of guys who came up together and won together in the minors and learned how to win together and know each other and all that. It is a lot of pieces taken from other spots, and it feels like this group of guys is finally starting to learn how to win together, and I do think that is important.
And again, I think it's super important for Bryce Harper because, and I don't mean this as a shot at Bryce in any way, but like let's be real, how long is Bryce going to stay here if they're not making the playoffs?
Yeah,
he's not, sure. And at a certain point it might make sense to trade him, but ultimately I think showing Bryce that this team can win if he plays well enough, I think, is super important.
Let's go to Florida and talk to our buddy Ja'Cory. Hey, pal.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What up, man? Good to talk to you.
Good, man. Good. It's been well. Sorry I missed you guys yesterday.
All good.
I had something to do. I did some scouting for y'all. I went to the Bucks training camp.
Okay.
Oh, our buddy. What'd you see?
Do you see any receivers the Eagles could go out there and get?
No, not really. Might be, you know, I don't know, a linebacker or offensive lineman, but I had a good time. I got Antonio Brown's gloves, though.
Sweet. Good stuff. Yeah, sounds like it was fun.
So what'd you want to say on the Birds, Ja'Cory?
Okay, so I agree with y'all. I think we do need to add a piece, but no at the same time. Like, I do want to get a veteran wide receiver, but I don't want him to take snaps from, like, the young guys, because I do want to see Devontae Smith. I do want to see Jalen Rager. I want to see Quez Watkins.
Yep.
Like, I see, you know, Elliot and the guys, you know, the reporters, y'all going crazy about Quez Watkins, and I really want to see him. I really want to say this. This is really interesting. I just had this thought early this morning. I was looking at the tweets and watching the live practice on YouTube. I was thinking, I know you guys have said Josh Sweat has had a good camp and Derek Barnett has a good camp. I'm thinking we should put Brandon Graham as a situational pass rusher, take some of his snaps away and put in Derek Barnett and Josh Sweat as the, you know,
the same
the
time
start and defensive ends, and let Brandon Graham be the situational, you know, pass rusher on third downs or those key downs. So, you know, Sweat can get his snaps.
It's an interesting Barnett
can get his snaps and Graham can stay healthy, stay in the rotation.
Yeah, really interesting thought. Great calls always, buddy.
Look, they move Brandon Graham inside quite a bit, so I do think there'll be times where he's inside and you have a different edge. Now, from what I've seen out there, it looks like they're both predominantly, you know, practicing on the one side, so I don't know how difficult it would be to move over. But, yeah, I like the idea of getting the team's best rushers out there. Josh Sweat has been their best rusher. Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Brandon Graham, I think those four can be really good. We'll have to see it from Barnett. But, yeah, if he's playing well and you can move Graham inside or even, you know, take him off every once in a while so his legs are fresher throughout the year, I think that's only a positive.
Yeah, look, he's never going to play more than Graham, and nor should he. Graham's better than Derek Barnett, but – look, you've talked about a lot. We've seen with Fletcher Cox the last few years where when you don't get those blows throughout games and you are playing 90% of the snaps, 95% of the snaps, it wears on you.
Yeah.
So
they do have they do have good depth on the
defensive
line.
They can rotate. Yeah. And then we all remember 2017, that was a big part of that defensive line success. 215-592-9494 It's Elliott James. It's Go Birds Radio. And remember, the Park Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Sports Fan. Golf's in full swing. Baseball's in full swing. You can bet it and all. Baseball, golf, MMA, and so much more. Live in-game play-by-play betting lets you bet while you watch, and it is a wild ride with wild swings and opportunities to make money. It's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania and the only one that we here at Go Birds recommend. You can bet on the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app and bet on individual player performances as they happen. Baseball, bet hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts every inning. Golf, you can bet on match winners. You can bet on leaders after each round and so much more. Or you can always bet on the classics, spreads, parlays, props, teasers, and over-unders, and it's just so much more fun having some action on these games. It's so much more fun to watch. It's so much more fun to be invested, and it's fun to win money. And here's the deal. New customers, if you sign up right now, you get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's G-O-B-I-R-D-S. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parks, James Seltzer, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Phillies Mets coming up.
Playoff type baseball, man.
It's very exciting.
It's very fun to have
Ranger Suarez on the hill today.
A little less exciting, but you know.
We'll see. We'll,
yeah. I'm happy it's Wheeler tomorrow, though, for the
huge. Having Wheeler going in this series is big, facing his old team, all that. It should be super, super fun. And look, again, like, if Wheeler wins tomorrow, they win the series no matter what happens tonight, which is why winning last night was so important.
Yeah. Well, it's good to set the series off with a win, too.
Totally.
Keep the confidence going. Keep the momentum going.
Totally. Totally. It was big. And six in a row. Six in a row for the first time since 2018.
Do you think that Bryce home run last night was his signature moment as a Philly?
Yeah, well, I think it's that or the grand slam against the Cubs. Those are the two.
Now, but the grand slam against the Cubs wasn't really for anything, right? Or were they early
enough?
No, they
were in it. No,
they were still in it.
It was still in it then. It was not over. They were still in it. It was exciting. They were in it. And it was a walk-off, too.
Right, grand slam.
But I think last night's homer was his most important homer situation. Again, because, like, despite the fact that, look, they were in it. I mean, they were in first place in 2018 in August. Heading into August, they were in first place. Like, they were in it in 2019. Obviously, we just talked about how last year, which was a sham of a season that I refused to recognize anyway.
They still blew it, though.
They still blew it. They still had a chance. For some reason, even though they really have yo-yoed around 500, under, over, and just been around there, and now four games over, six straight. Like, for some reason, this feels so much more real to me, and probably because the division is so bad. Mm-hmm. You were worried about wild cards before, and it was a little more, you know, you get one game to prove yourself. But this feels a lot more real this year.
Now, look, I think part of it's because at the end of last year, they clearly ended terribly, right? Just lost seven of eight.
Yeah, lost 7-8.
Whereas now, it feels like they're getting hot at the right time. But how many games left, roughly?
So we just passed the two-thirds point of the season. They're like 53, 52 left.
So
we are about two-thirds of the way through the season.
All right,
so
getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, buddy. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and go to Tennessee. Justin, what up, brother?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing this fine Saturday evening?
What up, man? Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear y'all, man. I was wanting to call last week when you had Drew on there with you, Elliot, but we were traveling.
Oh, good.
I wasn't able to call, but I was listening.
I appreciate
Rube's
that.
The best. Thank you to Rube for joining. That was awesome.
Yeah, Rube. Love that guy. Rube, he's a nice one, buddy. I like
him. I'm a fan of Ruben Frank, personally.
Well, we're a fan of Reuben's in general. Sandwiches, dogs.
Yes, my
drinks.
Dog. You're right. My dog is named Reuben. I am partial to Reuben's. You are correct.
Yeah. On this depth chart, I got a question for you.
Yep.
How deep do you think they're going to go at tight end with this? I can never remember this kid's
name.
Tyree Jackson. Yeah. Yes.
The star of camp.
You've got Goddard. You've got Ertz. You've got Rodgers. I mean, are they going to go four deep?
They could. I mean, look, I think Tyree Jackson has been, if you just drop somebody in a practice and they knew nothing about any of the players on offense, you would say, oh, I guess Tyree Jackson's their best player. Like, that's how good he's looked. He looks the part. I think he's 6'7". He has super long arms. He's super fast. And what's really impressive about him is, well, super fast for someone that's 6'7". But what's impressive about him is he is a former quarterback, but his hands might be the best part of his game. I mean, he catches everything thrown his way. He makes contested catches. He'll go up for the ball, which obviously with his height is a big advantage for the quarterback. So he's been awesome. You cannot cut Tyree Jackson. Like, no, period. You have got to keep him on the roster. So to your question is then what do they do? I think they could go four deep. Obviously, the Ertz thing remains up in the air. I do think he'll be here, but clearly if they trade him, then, you know, it's easy. You just go with the three. But if you go with four, you could go light at running back. You could go light at receiver. I think Tyree Jackson deserves a roster spot more than the back end of the depth chart at receiver and the back end of the depth chart at running back. You've got to keep him on the team.
That's what I was thinking because I've heard and read nothing but good things about this young man.
Yeah, he looks the part, man. He looks really good. I think they could have a steal on their hands.
And I want to do one more thing. Then I want to say something about the Fields because James is my boy and the Fields are, and
got
you know
to.
Fritz is my boy and their Fields guy. So anyway,
yep.
I think Barnett, if they're going to a, I don't know that they're going to a base 3-4, but if they're going to run a lot of 3-4, I think this could help Barnett coming from a stand up position, because when he was at Tennessee, he got a lot of sacks from like a stand up position, kind of like they did with Chris Long the year we won the Super Bowl. Where Long
would just
stand up on that edge. I think that could be a huge thing for Barnett, so watch out for that this year.
No, it's a good point. That's why you're our guy from Tennessee, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah, bringing that. That's a, I'm going to use that and pretend I came up with it, so I appreciate it.
Hey, go ahead. I co-sign. Go ahead, brother. I don't care. The thing about the Fields, Jack has got to keep running.
Yes.
He's got to do it solo.
Run, Fritz, run.
Jack, run. I know he said his wife was wanting to kind of go with him. This is what I want to say. Sometimes a man has to go it alone.
Mm.
And this Wednesday, my man Jack will do the 8 minutes. I think
8 minute mile. Yep.
I think it's going to be 7 minutes and 50 seconds. I don't care how hot it is. He's going to power through just like your Fields. We're going to power through, and y'all are going to have a red October. And I'm going to be cheering for you. Y'all know I'm a Red Sox fan, but hey, I love you boys, and I'm cheering for the Fields as my secondary team. So hey. Bills are going to sweep this weekend, too. I think they're going to sweep.
Love it, Justin.
I'm going to get off. I'm going to sit here on the porch swing, keep listening to you, boys. Love you, man.
Love you, Justin. You're the best. I thought that was an outstanding call.
Yeah.
Just a tad too much Fritz love. All right,
so
let's
talk
it
about
a little
it really
bit
quick.
With the Fritz love.
What do you think the chances are?
I get enough
are?
Jack Fritz every day as it is.
Yes,
all right?
You do.
Let's
That's
go.
True. So no. for those that
I'm
don't
a,
know,
I'm a Fritz fan.
Jack Fritz is going to attempt to run an 8-minute mile this Wednesday. What are you thinking?
I think he gets it. An
8-minute mile is hard.
So Jack is a competitive person. You wouldn't know it if you just.
Oh, I know he's competitive.
Jack is competitive, and I think he's practiced enough now where he's gotten himself into the point where he knows what a mile is. He knows how hard he has to push himself and all that. I think it'll be close. I don't think he's crushing an under 8-minute mile, but I think to Justin's point, he's in the 745, 750 range.
So,
I think he gets it just barely.
To me,
he might collapse after because he pushed it too hard at the end and like be like,
and it's going to be hot,
a mess.
Yeah,
but I think he gets it.
Has he said what his time is? Like, has he said what he's running right now?
I could be wrong. I feel like he tweeted like 745 one time or something like that. I don't know.
I think if I would be surprised if he finishes under 10 minutes.
Under 10?
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Whoa.
An 8-minute mile is not easy.
It's
I run
not that hard though.
When's
like,
the last? I run 4 or 5 times a week.
I have not run in a while, but like I used to be able to run like a 7-minute mile, 7.5-minute mile, and I've never been a big runner guy.
Right,
but like if you just run for a mile, like it's going to be under 8 minutes if you run.
No, it's really not. We'll see, and I hope he does it. I'm rooting for him. He is a competitor. You're right. But I look when I go out and I try to run an 8-minute mile, and I will say definitively, I'm in better shape than Jack Fritz. That it's not as easy as you think. Like, you actually have to push yourself the entire time to get an 8-minute mile.
Wow. All right. Look at this. To be fair, never, ever run. I work out on, like, elliptical step thing that we have in our basement. I've not run in years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't think you just step up and run an 8-minute mile.
Yet,
it's going to be harder
than
you think.
I'm still going to say he's going to do it. Why not?
All right, I hope
Let's
he does, man. I'm rooting for him.
Are you really, though?
Yeah. I like to see Jack win, man.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Glassboro and talk to Black Gritty. What up, Bo?
Man, I'm in these streets. I can do an 8-minute mile if you put a dog or the boys a blue on me. Otherwise, it might be an 8-day mile. You know what I'm saying?
I could walk a mile. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm a good walker.
And the real issue is the heat. Like, depending on how hot it is, like, it does differ.
It's way harder to run outside.
It's a really good point. It's a really good point.
If it was today, you'd die. The humidity is just sucking air from you.
Look, I think if you put Fritz on a treadmill and set it to 8 minutes, he could do it.
Yeah.
I think running outside in the heat is way harder than
it's going to be.
This
is an interesting angle on it. I don't know. And let's be real, Jack not in the best shape.
Right.
Like, so that's fair.
He's a pitcher.
He's in A shape, you know what I mean? Just like me. My shape is round. I bring the keg, not the six pack. You know what I'm saying? I bring the party. I mean, y'all light drinkers. Y'all got a six pack. I got a keg out here. Anyway, let's talk about this. So all the size sports, are you an investigative reporter kind of guy? Shore Parks, are you like a guy that like does investigations?
I try. I try.
Okay, I need you to do me a favor.
All right.
I want to know, like, what the training staff is.
Oh, you're breaking up. What are you saying?
You went in and out. Are you there? Oh, no.
Let's investigate into what happened there.
Yeah. Are you there? Oh. All right. We're going to put him on a hold. We're going to see if Dan can talk to Owen, see if we can get him back in a good spot for now. Let's go to Ardmore and talk to our buddy Anthony. Yo, Ant.
Yo, Seltzer, EST, what's up?
What's going on, man? Good to hear from you.
Yo, man, yo, this is one of the best Go Birds pod
shows.
Listen, stations I've listened to for a while because the Phils are in it.
Yeah.
And EST, don't ever let anyone question you about football again.
I appreciate it.
11-4. And I also bring up this. I like the fact that Sirianni's never a player. He's always brought up coach.
Yeah.
Carson had an all right year, killed it the second year, twisted his whatever. Say Jalen Hurts doesn't do that but gets better at throwing the ball. And that guy, that 6'7" guy, EST, if they let him off the team, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Yeah, they got to keep him, man. You can't put him through waivers. They got to keep Tyree Jackson on the roster.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Agreed.
And I'm sorry, Salter. I had to hang up on you the past three times you had me on hold.
You never, ever, ever have to apologize to me, buddy. Ever. It's all
good. Yeah, I know.
Appreciate
but,
you.
But I'm on my way out to Pittsburgh, so I thought I just had to – give you a call and let you know I still love you, boys.
Nice. My man.
Aunt, you're
appreciate
the man, dude.
The
thank you for calling in. Be safe out there. Hit us up when you get back. Always a pleasure hearing from Anthony and Armour. It looks like Black Gritty is back and ready to go. You there, Black Gritty?
There we go. I love running through the woods. I mean, the dogs was after me.
It sounded like you were saying, you can't make that joke. I have a scar on my face.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. You were talking about the training staff. Go.
Yeah, so the training staff and the medical staff, like, is it like a company that we hire, or do they like hire individuals like to become the Eagles staff?
It's a bit of a mixture. I would like they definitely work with doctors that have other jobs, but then they have full-time guys as well. So it's a bit of a mixture.
Like we need a new staff. I'm so worried about our injuries and the way the guys train and the way that they get in shape. Like, can we hire like Tom Brady's guy or like LeBron's guy?
Look, it seems like they're doing different. Yeah, right. It seems like they're doing different things this year. The practices, although intense, have been shorter.
Okay.
I do think that's in response to that. So, you know, to a certain point, the doctors, I mean, there's not much they can do. Like, players are going to get hurt and they're going to heal it on their own pace. I think when the doctors, it more comes down to, you know, correctly diagnosing it and stuff like that. So I think the doctors get a little too much of the criticism when it comes to this team's injuries. I understand it's their job to keep them healthy, but they really have no control over it.
And that's what I was about to trans. Maybe it's just the water. I mean, it's good for bagels and not bones. In Philly,
team players get hurt all over the league, you know, like it's just,
you know what I'm saying, but you get,
yes,
just the general feel of Philadelphia is our guys get hurt more often and stay hurt longer.
Yes.
It
yes.
feels like I'm not making that up, right? Like,
no,
you feel that
no,
general.
I'm
perception.
With you.
Well, look
I'm
at the offensive line last year, right? They had a ton of injuries, so yeah.
And I'm like, so you know, just investigate it for me. I mean, give me some.
I will, I'll look into it for you.
He's like your editor,
he's giving me an assignment.
Hey, so somebody got to put together work without that little stuff he's been putting on the internet.
He just tweets a little bit, talks on the radio. I mean, is he even working out there?
When you get the interactions I do, you don't have to tweet much.
When he hits enter, he does that evil villain giggle and stuff because the internet's going
to
go
like
fire.
Looks over at someone next to him and is like, watch this.
Yep. Well, someone's got to tell the truth out on those internet streets, man.
Love you, baby mama. Love you, Troy Park.
My
and
man.
As always, go Birds!
Go Birds. Oh, you're the best. BlackGritty.com.
You know, so far, I'm thinking about the team's injuries in camp this year. I mean, Devontae Smith, obviously not great. Brandon Brooks, I mean,
an understatement.
Right.
If we could have chosen one Eagles player, if we had magic abilities to say, all right, we can choose one player and they will not get hurt in camp, every Eagles fan would have picked Devontae
Smith. Yeah, I mean, I think Jason Kelce might have been the smart decision.
Yeah.
But, yes, I agree. I mean, but the good news is none of the injuries that they've suffered, that they've dealt with so far appear to be serious, right? I mean, you think about this time last year, Lane Johnson wasn't practicing with an injury that ended up needing surgery. Javon Hargrave.
Sees him a submarine by that
Brandon one. Brooks, Miles Sanders. So they were dealing with more serious injuries last year.
215-592-9494. Let's talk to my buddy, Billy T in Princeton. Billy.
Sir James and Elliot, great show.
My man.
You got a comment on the Eagles?
Yeah, yeah. And of course the Phillies. I know. Trust me, I know.
Of course the Phillies. Hey, I think it's foolish talk to not want the team to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the past callers just
Billy, I agree with you. I wouldn't go that far. I'm just saying my thing is not don't make the playoffs. I don't want them in the playoffs. It's just not like make that your top priority with this group. But I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I think let these guys, let these young guys grow up on the field. And their playoff experience is all part of that.
And look, my first choice, if I'm running the team, yeah, I want to see Quez Watkins get snaps. I want to see Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, you know, Greg Ward, still relatively young. I do want that at receiver. My only thing is if you go into the year with these guys and you count on them and it doesn't go well right off the bat, you're in for a long year. So I want to give them the chance. I agree with that path. But you need to have a better backup plan than they have right now. They need to bring in a veteran they feel they can count on if things don't go right with the younger players.
Hey, hats off to our GM over in the Phillies. He made that. It appears to be an excellent trade. I really enjoy watching Gibson.
Oh, Billy, how about like having a guy who's like animated and into it? And like, yep. It was so fun watching this guy pitch. He got the RBI single, too. It was like there's nothing he couldn't
do. Yep, and, you know, he works the plate. He works the hitters.
Yep.
He's always around the plate. He was a little wild the other night, or yesterday. But he's a tremendous addition. And now we have four, and maybe now five, solid starters.
Yeah.
And it looks like the kid that had the Tommy John surgery
Sir Anthony,
back.
That was so. Yes. Look, you know enough about baseball, Billy, to know that like we can't count on that, and that guys can look good and right. They come back, and the control's not there, and all that. But if like that's the kind of thing that we have not talked about at all, if he can come back and give them something, because he's a damn good pitcher when healthy, Sir Anthony Dominguez, or at least has been in his major league experience, that would be massive if they had another guy you could count on that pen.
Without a question. So you know one thing we're not hearing. Nobody's giving the manager any credit. You know, he gets his ass beat on.
Yeah, that's fair, Billy. I know. I honestly, I knew you would be. I was waiting for you to be like, well, where are all the Girardi haters now?
Yeah, that's right. And I think this team is taking on his personality.
Yeah, Billy, I will say, and I have been very down on Girardi, as you know. Credit when due. You got to be fair. Like, this team has turned it around. They're playing tougher. They fight. And I don't know if it's all because of Girardi, but you certainly can't say that none of it's
because of Girardi. Is he making, like, to you guys, managerial decisions that are sticking out? Because early in the year, he was making bad decisions.
Well, I still think his management of the bullpen, and granted, the options are not great, but I think his management of the bullpen has still been bad. Like, I am not turning the corner on that. But to Billy's point, I do think that they are playing a different brand of baseball, and you got to give him some credit for that.
He didn't know who he had in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think he's still messing up the bullpen, though, Billy. Like, bringing Kennedy in a 9-5 game to throw two pitches the other night was crazy.
Yeah,
I didn't agree with that. Yeah. But still, by and large.
He's done a much better job.
Yep. Hey, great show, fellas.
Billy, always appreciate a pleasure, it. My friend. 215-592-9494.
It's exciting to have, like, meaningful Phillies baseball back.
Dude, it is so exciting. Like, it is like, I feel like something inside me that has been sleeping for a long time, waking up and remembering how fun it is to have a team.
The Girardi thing, too, is interesting because, you know, I heard this is the first call I've heard bring it up in terms of Girardi was getting ripped earlier in the year. And I think rightfully so. There were a lot of really bad, you know, decisions he made that were just completely avoidable. Like the thing where he had, you know, the wrong players on the lineup card or whatever. And all those things. Like going out to the
with
mound.
Wheeler having to pull Wheeler from the game. Yep.
So he was making those type of mistakes. And I don't know, you know, I'll say it, you know more about baseball than me. I know more than Jack Fritz, but you know more than me. And so I agree with you. The bullpen management has still not been great. But ultimately, he does deserve credit because what you do hear a lot of callers say is this team does fight and they don't give up. And I think that does have to do with Girardi.
Absolutely. Again, I can't rip him for all this stuff early on and then not turn around right now and give him some credit for this. There's no question.
Gabe Kapler's doing an awesome job in San Francisco, but look at when he was a manager of this team, they always lost big games.
Yep.
They never came up big in big spots. And Girardi's a World Series winning manager, so I do think he deserves credit for that.
Yeah, so. I agree. 215-592-9494. If Phillies calls, we'd love to take him. Phillies Mets coming up at 4:05 on this station. Phillies in first place by half a game. Have a chance to be a game and a half up at the end.
Unbelievable.
Of Unbelievable. And, of course, Eagles. 215-592-9494. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you, leading up to Phillies Mets at 4:05. We're going to get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here.
If you want to get in, 215-592-9494, talking Eagles and Phillies. Let's go back to the phones and go to University City and talk to Rich. Hey, Rich.
We're talking about Eagles practice. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, yes, Eagles practice.
We're talking about practice, Rich.
Talking about practice.
Talking about practice. That's all we
Absolutely.
Got so far, man. That's all we got
That's
to go
what
off.
We got.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you the key, you know, from a football standpoint, a strong rebuild of the offensive line gets it done. If the Eagles want to, you know, push the record to 10-7 or better, it's all about the offensive
yeah.
line in my mind. We rebuild a strong offensive line. From a football standpoint, that's you know, that's where
yeah,
it's at.
And look, I think that's why, and I've said it all offseason, and honestly, training camp practices haven't made me change my mind yet. Like, this team's strength is going to be the lines. Their defensive line, I think, can be one of the best in the league. And their offensive line, if it stays healthy, will definitely be one of the best in the league. But I think that they do have some good depth on there. I mean, I think Nate Herbig has looked good. Matt Pryor, believe it or not, from what I can tell, has looked pretty good at guard. I think that Jack Driscoll's a decent backup tackle. So one positive from last year when all these guys had to take these snaps is I do think they have some good depth along the line. And if they have a good offensive line and a good defensive line, to your point, Rich, they're going to be a good team.
Absolutely. That's the, you know, it's from a football standpoint, that you know, if we can get it done on the line, then we're headed 10-7 or better, you know, just based on that. So hopefully from a football standpoint and for Eagles fans, hopefully that's the case.
Yeah.
I did want to make another point. Obviously, you know, I love football and, you know, I've loved football and the NFL football, you know, always. But I'll tell you, it is my opinion that the Roger Goodell has to go. And I will pub and reference my page at NFL number 4 Christians. If any of the folks who've read my page over the years, they know why he needs to go. I mean, once upon a time, we had some strong commissioners. If someone did something wrong, he would hold them accountable. Clearly, Roger Goodell needs to do a better job.
Rich, good call.
Didn't think we'd get a fire Roger Goodell.
No, nor a random shout out to the website. Yeah, sure, I guess. Check it out. Sure, just snuck that one in there. But, yeah, Roger Goodell's bad at his job. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the owners believe that.
Well,
he makes them a
lot
of money.
And honestly, here's the thing. I'll tell you what. Like, I thought that Roger Goodell was, like, the worst commissioner ever. And then Rob Manfred came along and made Roger Goodell look a lot better at his job than he is.
Because
Manfred is absolutely the worst commissioner out there.
Yes.
So, there you go. Did not expect that.
No. But you never know with GoBirds.
No, yeah, you could hear anything. Let's see if anyone else wants to pub their website. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Newtown and talk to Scott. Scott, you got a website you want to shout out?
Hey, James and Elliot. Real pleasure to talk to you guys. I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
Oh,
man.
Thank you,
Appreciate
Scott.
It.
That is awesome, man.
Definitely appointment listening for when I walk my dog Dawkins, named after my favorite all-time Eagles player.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I, too, am a listen to pods while I walk my dogs guy, so I feel you on that.
Very cool.
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys on the wide receiver core. You've been talking about it a bunch today.
Yeah.
Assuming that Smith, probably Rager, most likely Ward make it, who do you see that's on the roster now that makes the cut?
So I agree with
those. I think would be a lock with the camp he's had so far.
Yeah, I think that Smith is obviously a lock. Rager's a lock. I think Quez is pretty much a lock. I think Travis Fulgham is a lock. He's been starting out there. He's had a decent camp. He has had a few drops, but compared to the other receivers, I think he's been at least involved and it seems to be getting open. So I would say that those five are a lock. The sixth spot comes down to, look, do they keep a six? I think John Hightower, he's dealing with an injury now, and it looks like he could be out for quite a bit. So that's not great. And then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, former second-round pick. They've been putting him in the slot this year, which kind of gives him a little bit of versatility. Now you can debate – can he play either of the positions?
Well,
but
and also not playing special teams
and
really hurts
yes.
him at this point in his career trying to make a roster.
Yes, doesn't play special teams. So I would say that those five are locks, and then it'll come down to Hightower or Arcega-Whiteside. And right now it would probably lean Arcega-Whiteside just because he was a second-round pick.
Do you feel they're going to keep six? Is that what the number is for the season?
I think they're definitely going to keep five, and if they keep a six, it would be either J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or John Hightower.
Now, if they pick up somebody off of the waiver wire scrap heap or trade for somebody like Washington, who gets out?
Well, I think it would be either Arcega-Whiteside or Hightower. But I also think, as much as I really like Greg Ward, I think if there's a surprise cut at the position, he would be it. Because if you're going to play Rager at the slot, and then you also feel like JJ can go in there, they can put Smith anywhere. Ward can't play on the outside. And if you're keeping Ertz, he's going to be in the slot quite a bit. So I think cutting Greg Ward would be a mistake. But when you look at their receiving core, I'm not sure Ward has an elite level talent that maybe the others do in terms of speed and potential and that type of thing. So if they were to trade for a James Washington but then still wanted to keep JJ, I think Ward could be the surprise cut there.
Okay. Hey, last question from Elliot. From what you've seen in practice, who do you feel is winning the left tackle battle?
Oh, I don't even think it's close. I think Jordan Mailata is winning the battle. He's the better player every day. When Dillard's out there, you know, there's times where the team drill starts and I'm looking at who's at receiver and I don't really look right away to see who's at left tackle until I see the quarterback under pressure and I'm like, oh, I guess it's Dillard. Dillard is not having a good training camp. It doesn't matter who he's going up against. He's still getting pushed back into the pocket. So I think Mailata is clearly the better left tackle. And I think he's winning if you even want to call it a battle anymore, but I think he's winning it.
Can they get any trade value whatsoever from Dillard?
It's a good question. I mean, he only makes, I think, around $4 million, so I don't think it's the worst thing in the world just to hold on to him for just to have as a backup. But I think if you traded him, you could get a late-round pick. There'll be teams that liked him a lot in the draft that'll convince themselves they could turn him around. And I think if you cut him, he would get picked up on waivers. So I think a team might just give you a conditional fifth or sixth so they don't have to risk that.
Great, man. I really appreciate the high quality work you guys are putting out there. Keep it up.
Scott, thanks,
appreciate you
man.
Calling.
We really appreciate you listening and calling. We love when our pod listeners
love a good pod listener. I also really love, a few times out of practice, people come up to me and said they're pod listeners. That's always
it's
very
my people.
Fun. Yeah,
If you are those people and you're listening right now, I love you.
Call
That's
in.
Where I'm at. Yeah, call in too. 215-592-9494. Speaking of calling in, one of the legend callers.
I was wondering when you were going to go to him.
So excited. Did not expect to see him on here. Does not call our show that often, but we get to go to the barbershop and talk to Tone. What up, Tone?
Jimmy, what's going on, buddy?
A true pleasure, man. How are you?
See, you guys are so popular, man. It's hard to get through. Oh,
nah, just let us know when you want to get through and we'll get you in.
I'm at work and I'm running between elevators trying to make a call and, you know, I just enjoy listening if I can't get through.
I appreciate it.
But I had a couple questions about the Eagles and one about the Phillies.
All right.
With the Eagles, I mean, I looked at the Hall of Fame game, and I didn't really expect to see much, and a lot of players didn't play. And I wonder how did that translate to what the Eagles are going to do Thursday,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the veterans having so many days off and, you know, a big concern about guys that aren't getting in or this time of year trying to get into playing shape.
Yeah, so we have asked Nick Sirianni about that. He's not saying what he's doing yet. What is interesting, though, that Brandon Brooks, I believe, said that he plans on playing in a preseason game, so that would be a pretty good indication that, you know, the starters are going to get some time. I think the real interesting question, though, is what are they going to do with Jalen Hurts? You saw with Carson Wentz, they just stopped playing him in preseason games. Now, he had injury histories, he made more money, all those things. So I could see why, to a certain extent, they didn't play him. It'll be interesting to see how much they play Jalen. I think Jalen would benefit from being out there and getting these live reps. So it'll be interesting to see how Sirianni does it. New head coach, we'll see what his approach is.
Yeah, they got to play him.
I agree, I would play him.
You know, I mean, because, you know, he's got to get some mileage on his belt. Those four games last year wasn't enough.
Well, and also with how the practices are going, I think it's really important that this offense, you know, hopefully gets some success in these preseason games to feel good about themselves. I mean, they were so bad today. You know, I wonder if they have to start putting them against a second-team defense so they can get some confidence.
Yikes.
Going.
Well, consistency. That's the whole thing. You know, repetition. I mean, you're going to miss guys and stuff like that, but you overcome that with consistency. Yep. Okay. You know, like
I'm
Sirianni
falling back
says,
on those reps too. It's knowing you've done it, knowing the experience. It's kind of like the Phillies thing that I'm talking about right now with this team fighting back. It's that they've fought back in enough games now. They've had enough walk-off
wins.
They can
believe it.
That they believe they can do it. And that is such an important part in sports. It really is.
You know, the thing that sticks out to me, the question has been brought up a million times. Are you in? Are you out? Do you believe? And stuff like that. And I'm cautiously optimistic from a distance because they haven't shown me enough. They beat up on bad teams they're mm-hmm. supposed to, but they lost to bad teams
no,
too, a.k.a.
I
Pittsburgh.
It. I get it.
But my thing is this, 7-17, what does that remind you of?
The Mets in
absolutely.
Yeah, buddy.
Good job by you.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. 7 games of 17 to play yep. with the Mets,
yep.
the year that Jimmy Rollins said we're the team to beat when the Marlins came
yep.
marching up 95 and just smacked them around. Well, this is not exactly the same thing with 17 to play, but it is just amazing to me. it's amazing to me. You had the kid come out and give three ding-dongs in the beginning of the game, they win. They're down by six, and they win. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any pitching, and they win. So, you know, is that coincidence or is something really going on with this team?
It's a great question, Tone, and I hope it's the latter. It certainly feels for the first time like there's something brewing. Like
it
whether
feels
they realize
real good
it, but,
down there
yeah.
now. I mean, you can tell with the fans, you can tell with the players, and then, you know, Harper with the bomb in the yep. eighth, you know, these late game heroics. Even, I mean, you know, you have three. Well, first of all, that guy at third base got to go.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's going to go, but, you know, put Torres over there or something because he's just a liability on the field.
He is.
He really is.
No, Tone, I'm with you. Bohm can't play. Certainly not when you get a ground ball pitcher going in Gibson. It's he's bad there, man. He's really bad.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the Eagles season. I'm always looking forward to the Eagles season, and everybody knows that I'm a guy that I push all my chips to the middle
every single year. We know, brother. We know. We know.
So, you know, I'm not going to hate on him or whatever, but Hurts really got to get some time. He's got to get in sync with his receivers, you know, overthrowing,
underthrowing. I think he deserves the reps. He deserves the reps to develop this year. We'll see if he gets it, but I think he deserves it.
Tone, call,
I hope so.
Call us during the season. Call us more often, man. It's always a pleasure when we hear from you.
Oh, absolutely.
Tone, all right, awesome. Really a pleasure.
All right, guys.
Tone, talk to you soon. 215-592-9494 from one legend to a budding legend, certainly gets under people's skin. The one, the only, Mad Mike. What up, Mike?
Oh, I like it. I like that entrance. But I'm here to rein in this positivity and just put an end to it.
Shocker.
No, you!
First of all, the Phillies in a week, everybody's going to be like, this team stinks. The coach stinks. I can't believe we bought in again. We're so stupid because we're such a dumb fan base. This
well, what makes you think that? Tell me why you think they're not going to
win it all season, Elliot.
They're in first place right now. They've been better than the other teams for all season.
And I hate this. Oh, just because we're in a bad division, we might back into the playoffs.
Yes, they might make it because of a bad division, Mike.
Why do you hate making the playoffs?
Why are you so against it?
And then let's just jump over to the Eagles. Like,
just so you know, Mike, just so you know, there are definitely people in New York, Mets fans, calling WFAN saying this Mets team, they're horrible. They have no chance.
I don't care. I know.
All right, go Birds. What do you got on the Birds?
They stink. And you know what? Howie Roseman, when Jalen Hurts fails, then we can go back and be like, well, Jalen Hurts was a bad pick. Jalen Reagor was a bad pick. Andre Dillard was a bad pick. And then when Devonta is not good enough because he's undersized and too frail for this league, doesn't work out. Elliot, how are you going to defend Howie
Yeah,
then?
If every That's single thing there. Breaks against the Eagles, you're right. It won't be good.
Tell me that, how all these bad picks that have led this team to be this middling, no direction team becomes. And this team stinks. And I'm sorry, this is going to be a crap year, and they're not going to go 7-10. They're going to be like 5-12. There's no magic here. The Phillies have no magic. There's no magic.
What
magic
fun
isn't
to
real.
Enjoy
yeah,
you
always
are,
fun
buddy.
To talk
like,
to
just,
Mike.
Just,
I mean, my guy.
If you're in a bad mood, talk to Mad Mike, and he'll make you feel better.
And you know what? Magic is for Harry Potter, and Harry Potter's not real. So everybody,
wow.
knock it off.
Mike! This was hot today.
Mike never
Coming
has any
hot.
Reasoning for any of his arguments.
No,
he's just they're bad. That's your
I mean,
only point. That's your
for
only point.
Historical fact points.
What historical
GM,
fact points? Name them because you always just say they're
just
a bad
did.
Team.
By the way, historical
our GM
fact
is the
points?
Worst
yeah,
GM
not a
in
thing.
The
not
league,
yet.
Elliot.
What? Go ahead. What?
Our GM is the worst GM in the league. In
it's
every,
just wrong,
in
though, Mike.
Team,
it's just wrong. You can say
team.
It all you want, but it's not correct. Howie is
it
one of the best. Okay. Well, then why?
A bunch of monkeys. Just regular, like, monkeys could draft better than Howie Roseman. You could go to the Philadelphia Zoo, have a monkey
I like
draft,
that he clarified then, just regular monkeys, not,
yeah,
like,
not
special.
Super smart monkeys, yeah.
Well, I'm not talking, like, gorillas or, you know, intelligent ones. Like, just a random, like, monkey at the Philadelphia Zoo. Just, like, an idiot monkey, not, like, a Reese's monkey or anything like that. Just an idiot would draft better than
Mike,
our idiot GM.
Mike, always a pleasure, pal. Always a
have
pleasure.
A good one.
See you, buddy. Is pleasure the right word?
Yeah, it's just, you know, he just always calls in and is like, they're just bad. Well, why? He never has any reasoning.
Next time, Mad Mike, you call in, I want a point-by-point break.
Well, I want him to stick to one point and debate that, not just jump around whenever we push back and he has nothing else to say about it.
215-592-9494. One more segment to go leading up after that. Phillies Mets coming up at 4:05. And let me remind you one more time that the Park Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Sports Fan. Golf's in full swing. Baseball is too. You can bet on all baseball, golf, MMA, and so much more. Live in-game play-by-play betting lets you bet while you watch. It's a wild ride, swings, and super fun. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. It's the only one we here at Go Birds recommend. You can bet on the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app and bet on individual player performances as they happen. Baseball, bet hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts, inning by inning. Golf, you can bet on match winners, bet on leaders after a round, and so much more. Or you can always bet on spreads, parlays, props, teasers, and over-unders. And just when you have some action on these games that you're going to watch anyway because we love sports, it just makes it so much more fun to watch. The app is fun. It's easy to use. It's intuitive. And here's the deal. New customers, if you sign up right now, you get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Final segment for Elliot and I, leading off, coming up next, Phillies, Mets after that.
Big game.
Big game.
Big game.
Big game.
A little more important than the Eagles practice in terms of, you know, stakes, I guess I would
Very
say.
Very big game coming up today.
Hopefully they do better than the Eagles did today.
Yeah. Look, the Phillies have a chance to take a 1.5 game lead in the division. It's just, well, technically, actually, what the crazy thing is, they would take a 1.5 game lead over the Mets, but if the Braves won today, too, they would have a 1-game lead over the Braves, and the Braves are in second, the Mets are in third. The Mets could be in third place.
Well, I think this is, obviously, you want to win these games, clearly, right, to build a lead. But I also think if you can go out and sweep the Mets, that would be such a psychological blow to them.
Totally.
To come in here, to lose first place, to leave, they'd leave, what, 2.5 out, I guess?
If the Phillies sweep, they'll be 2.5 out.
Be 2.5 out. So not just from a standings perspective, but the Mets are falling apart. You could really kind of deal a death blow here to them if you can sweep.
It's a great point. 215-592-9494. Get to as many calls as we can. Let's go to Exton and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good. I called James every once in a while during the week, but I thought I'd call because I never get to talk to Elliot, and I always sometimes Elliot, you drive me crazy.
You're not the only one, but I appreciate you calling in.
Well, here's the point. I think that we all, as Eagles fans and just Philadelphia sports fans in general, think too much about wins, losses, playoffs, that kind of stuff. We should just be thinking in general terms. This is where the problem becomes in a lot of our teams. Just make the team better year after year after year to continue to do well.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is this. You know, Elliot mentions how good our defense is. Well, our defense is going against Dreck every practice. Let's wait until we see what they go against when they play some real teams.
Well, on the flip side, you could say maybe. I mean, look, I think it goes both ways. When the offense really looks good, it looks bad for the defense. When the defense looks great, it goes bad for the offense. So I don't know if you can say that, but we will have.
You can absolutely say that because it's the Eagles offense that has no receivers. Yeah, you can. So let's see what the Eagles defense does after the first couple weeks.
Yeah, and look, the joint practices against the Patriots and the Jets, who don't have great offenses either, but that'll be a good look at this team against another roster.
Better than what we have on our offense.
The second thing is, you
keep saying we have to make the playoffs because it'll help the quarterback get better. Look at Troy Aikman. Look at Aaron Rodgers. They had terrible first years. It doesn't matter. Make the team better. Keep making it better. I don't care if they win, make the playoffs or not. That should be the goal.
But that's what I'm advocating for. I'm saying go out and get a receiver. Go trade for James Washington.
You're advocating that you spend things that you probably would do better off not spending, building the team. The first time we ever get a young player and build young players will be the first time I've ever seen the Eagles do that. Let's build our young players. Let's build our team from within. Decrease the salary cap, we can go out and get a great player eventually.
Yeah, and look, I agree with you in terms of holding on to high-quality assets, like those two first-round picks, the Colts pick. I agree with you. But I do think there's a benefit, to your point, of just making moves to make the roster better, right? And bringing in a James Washington, bringing in a receiver that's going to help, is going to make the roster better. It's going to make Sirianni better. It's going to make Jalen Hurts better. So I don't think investing into this team is a bad idea.
I don't think players like that are going to make it. We need high-quality players, not basic average type of players.
Chris,
we need great players.
Chris, good call, man. Call us again.
Look, I disagree that the Eagles – look, the Eagles' offense where it's at right now, I've seen them through 9 practices. The offensive line, I think, is good. The running backs have been good. Goddard and the tight ends have been good. The issues have been the receivers and Jalen Hurts. And when I look at them, I think the main issue is the receivers are not creating separation. Jalen Hurts is not at a point yet, like most second-year quarterbacks, where he's got laser pinpoint accuracy and he's going to complete a large percentage of contested throws. No quarterback is going to do that. But the receivers, like today we saw so many batted today in practice, so many passes were batted down, and I don't think it's because they were bad throws. It's because there's just no separation there, and these guys are not winning 50-50 balls.
Let's go to South Carolina and talk to Rick. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I am a podcast listener.
Oh, appreciate
Rick,
it.
My man.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes. Speaking of, I believe it's Tyree Jackson, the 6'7 receiver who has great hands over the middle. Speaking of that kind of receiver, congratulations to Harold Hoagie Carmichael for making the Hall of Fame.
Rick, I was going to mention it at the very end of the show. I'm happy you brought it up. Like, long time coming. And one of those things where I know Elliot being around the team, when I worked for the team, and literally anyone who's ever been a part of this franchise, like in any facet, every single person to a man says what an amazing person Harold is. So it's really awesome.
I'm old enough to have watched him play. One of my favorite Eagles of all time. Second point, real quick, if I could, best wishes to get well to my friend Kelsey. She's a fellow Eagles fan. Tom recently brought her home from the hospital. She's doing well, but continued best wishes there.
Yeah,
and then my good wishes
her
way.
Thank you. And then third, my opinion here. I would like to. I think Jalen Hurts and Eagles doing well will go hand in hand. I would like to see them do well, and I think it gives us flexibility. If Jalen Hurts looks good this year, then next year we have, you know, either we're pleasantly surprised he's our you know, number one going forward, or he's very tradable, or we can keep him as a backup, you know, as we picked him. So I think it's just, that's my point, is I think it gives us flexibility at the team.
Yeah, there's no question that Jalen Hurts being good is the best outcome for this team, right? You don't have to trade assets to go get another quarterback. You can use those assets to put talent around him.
For 2 more years on a cheap deal.
Yep, he's still cheap. There's no question. But he has to go out and do it. Like, as high as I am on him, and I think he'll be good, the start to training camp has not been encouraging. So we'll see. If I believe he'll be a better regular season player than a training camp player, but he's going to have to go out and do it.
Thanks for taking my call.
Rick, always a pleasure, man. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Emil in Lansdowne. Emil. Hello. There, Emil.
Oh, man.
Too bad. Let's give it one more shot. Let's go to Rick in Lancaster.
Am I on?
Rick, you are on. What up, buddy?
Thank you. I hear echo. Hey, listen. He took the words right out of my mouth. Crazy Harold Carmichael.
Yes.
I just wanted to bring this up before I say something quick and passionate about Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Number one, Carmichael, I know you do. Do you recall the catch? Now, he's 6'8". He was close to the very front of the end zone, in the end zone, but not far back. And he leaped up in the air, tipped the ball with the tip of his finger, left, right? Fell on his back, and the ball hit him in the chest and he caught it. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I love seeing that catch. I saw it on YouTube again yesterday. Now, I praise him, and I'm so glad for him. And he did spend a lot of time around the team. When I go to training camp and whatnot, I always see him with that floppy hat on.
Yeah, it is always off to the side. Yeah.
That's my boy.
Harold's a great guy.
Congratulations to him. And number two, let me tell you guys, be careful what you wish for. Worrying about getting a quarterback possibly from Houston, Texas.
Well, to be clear, neither of us
want him.
We don't want them to
trade. We made it very clear. I do not want them to trade. Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me. Let me finish before I get lost in the sauce. Now, I've seen Jalen Hurts from Alabama and Oklahoma. I've seen him go through his trials and tribulations, but I love the way he handled it and how he learned to throw better. I remember how Stephen Smith burnt him, you know, he tore him up, you know, talking about how he couldn't throw and all this. But what I liked about Jalen Hurts, as he got better, just like he's doing at camp, every day he's getting better. I've seen how his worst, I see the interceptions. I see them getting it together, but he spent time studying. But I like the way, doing all that adversity, and the way he acted on the sidelines when they benched him for, what's his name, for Miami, when they benched him.
Oh, Tua.
Tua. When they, Tua's all right, too. But when they benched him. Now, what I like, what I'm seeing is that eventually he's going to get that where he get his reads without getting foot happy.
Yes.
You know,
he's, where he when needs he to go reads, through his progression.
I got confidence. Here's my point. 2 points. I got confidence that he's going to get them reads because he's an intelligent guy. I like,
Rick, I'm with you, bud. Rick, I'm with you. I'm sorry. We're up against it. It's a great call and great points, but we are well past our time.
Shout out to Harold Carmichael.
Yeah, shout out to Harold Carmichael.
Awesome.
And look, we both, to Rick's point, like, Elliot and I both want Jalen Hurts to succeed. We both want him to be the Eagles quarterback. We both do not want Deshaun Watson to be the Eagles quarterback. So we're very with you on that.
Yes, agreed on that.
All right. It has been a pleasure. Thank you to everyone who called in. We literally could not do this show without you. If you want to call in and talk Phillies, Leading Off is coming up next. I will absolutely take your Phillies calls, 215-592-9494, as we get you set for the biggest game of the season.
Here we go.
The biggest series of the season, and the first time in a long time it feels real with the Phillies. So coming up next, Leading Off, Phillies Mets after that. Again, thank you to every single person who called in. Thank you to Dan Wilson crushing it behind the glass. For Elliot, I'm James. Thanks for listening to another edition of Go Birds Radio right here on 94 WIP.